I want to ask you what you want for Christmas. I'm baiting you, and we're going to pick that up in a little bit. But I want to show you a scripture. It's just a bizarre scripture. I mean, it's like I was reading, and it's like unbelievable. You ready for seeing? You want to see a bizarre scripture in the Bible? Bizarre in that it just, like, you'll see when I show it to you, you'll go, huh? You ready to see a scripture? Watch this. Look, this is in Matthew chapter 35. And imagine this. Watch this. Then James and John, sons of Zebedee, came to him. They came to Jesus, watch this, saying, teacher, now listen to what they said. Watch this. They say, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Huh? That's what they're going to say? Now, watch this. Now I want to show you an even more, watch this, scripture that might challenge you. See, we have this, listen to me, we have this concept about who God is. And today, what I really want to do is I want to challenge that concept of who God is. But listen to me very carefully, because I'm not going to tell you who I think God is. I'm going to show you in the Word who God is. I'm going to show you in the Word who God is. We have allowed, you know what, different people, some of them even pastors, you know what I mean, to tell us who God is, sometimes neighbors, and just this thought of who God is. But I want to show you in the Word who God is. Because this morning, before Christmas tomorrow, I want you to have a proper understanding of who your God is. Now, watch this. And he said to them, here, take it off for a minute. Take it off for a minute. See, most people would think, I tell you what he's going to say to him. He's going to say, what did you say to me? Do you not understand who I am? What in the world are you thinking talking to me like that? We want you to do whatever we ask you to do. We think. And let me tell you why we think that. Because we don't understand who God is. We have this perception of God like God is kind of irritated all the time. He's kind of always in a bad mood. You know what? And looking to strike us down and looking to punish us and looking to beat us down. Let me tell you what. That isn't who our God is. And I'm going to show you over and over and over again very quickly, but I'm going to show you in a lot of scriptures. And listen, it doesn't make any difference what you think, and it doesn't make any difference what I think. We've got to allow the Word of God to tell us what the truth is. Listen, this is the truth. And so in response, look what God says. They say, teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask. And you think that God is going to say, whoa, you guys are completely out of line. But watch what he says. Next verse, look at this. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Is that incredible? We want you to do whatever we want, whatever we ask. And Jesus doesn't correct, doesn't chastise, doesn't belittle them. He says, oh, okay, what do you want me to do for you? He wants to know what they want. Now, if that's not enough, how many are minds blown right now? You know what I mean? You're like, whoa. If that's not enough, let me put it in context. Let me tell you what conversation they had before this. Before this. It's a little bit before this. Watch this. Verse 32. Now, they were on the road going to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. Now, let me tell you what's going on. In Rome, Rome would start to control different countries. And instead of going in there and wiping out the country and demolishing the cities and the fields and the produce and all that, burning it all, Rome was so powerful, they would come in and they would intimidate. But they were smart too, because they would come in and say, we're not going to burn your bridges. We're not going to burn your fields. We're not going to destroy your buildings if you play nice. But we are the big dog. And you can keep your places of worship. You can keep your farms. But we are going to rule you. And most people would say, okay, that's good. You know what I mean? At least because they knew Rome could have come in and wiped them out. But here's the deal. It was also very irritating. Because you can call a rose by any other name, it's still a rose. And they still understood that they were controlled by Rome. Does this make sense? So, but here's what happened. You know what? And Rome would push back if somebody got out of line. Well, you know who was getting out of line? Jesus was getting out of line. Not that he was doing anything wrong per se, but the Romans started to see all this power that he would have. And not only the power that the Romans recognized this, the Jewish rulers recognized this. One passage of scripture says that they were jealous of Jesus. See, they got this little Bible study over here, and they got 38 people over here, and Jesus has this little Bible study over here, but he's got 38,000 people over here. Right? And so Jesus is just, watch this, organically, just walking in power and authority that he had, and the Romans are looking at it, and the Jews are looking at it, and the Jews know, the his 12 apostles know, the Romans aren't going to put up with this stuff. And we are partners with Jesus. So Jesus is going back to Jerusalem, and as they're walking, catch this, as they're walking in, and they're thinking, oh man, I don't like this. Each step they're getting closer and recognizing this is not a good thing. Are you seeing this? So they were afraid. And he took the 12 aside and began to tell them the things that would happen. He's like, guys, you don't understand. Nobody's going to kill me. I'm giving my life. That's the plan. You don't have to be afraid. Next verse. Behold, you know what that means? It means look. He says, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed. You don't have to be worried about it. I'm not telling you it's going to happen. The Son of Man will be betrayed, and the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. This is what's going to happen. Next verse. And they will mock him and scourge him. Here, deep question. Who's him? Jesus is saying, listen, they're going to mock me. They're going to scourge me. They're going to spit on me. And they're eventually going to kill me. Well, guys, but don't forget this part. On the third day, I'm going to raise. Amen. But think what Jesus just got done telling them. They're going to kill me. They're going to mock me. They're going to scourge me. Next verse. Then James and John, sons of the day, came and said, teacher, we want you to do unbelievable. See, how many know there's sometimes, and you say the wrong thing. But there's sometimes you not only say the wrong thing, but you say it at the wrong time. Jesus is just getting done saying, guys, I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be scourged. I'm going to be beat. I'm going to be spit at. And they're like, oh, that's nice. Jesus, do what we tell you to do. Which, when I read that, I was surprised at the original request anyway. But when I read it in the contents, I was like, you know what, Jesus? Why didn't you say, what are you talking about, guys? First of all, I'm the Son of Man. I'm the Son of God. I'm going to tell you what to do. You don't tell me what to do. And second of all, you guys are so insensitive. Right? Jesus doesn't say any of that. Jesus says this. Catch this Christmas. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus, the same Jesus that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here's what he says. Guys, there's no irritation in his voice. There's no annoyance. He's like, hey, guys, what do you want me to do? Huh? What do you want? See, why does he say that? Here's why. Because that's how God is. Amen. That is the character of God.
That's right.
And that's why, you know what? I'm going to, and I won't take a long time, but I'm going to show you scripture after scripture after scripture. And here's what you're going to see. That same God is saying, guys, what do you want? Here's why. Because God, Jesus, is a server. Everybody say Jesus is a server. And we kind of like know that, but we don't really understand that. Jesus is a server. Look at Luke. That's my first point. Write that down, somebody. Look at Luke chapter 22. Likewise, he also took up the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is shed for you. You remember this. And behold, the hand of the betrayer is with me on this table. They're having this dinner, and he's saying, oh, by the way, you know what? There's somebody on this table going to betray me. Well, what do they start doing? They're like, what's up with that? Who's that? Watch, next verse. And truly the Son of Man goes as it was been determined, but woe to the men by whom he is betrayed. Next verse. Then they began to question among themselves which one of them it was who's going to do this thing. Who is it? You know, Peter's like, man, it's Paul. Paul's like, well, Paul wasn't around there, sorry. John's like, that's Peter. Peter's like, it ain't me, it's you. You know, and they're all having this discussion. And as they're having this discussion, they're talking about who's going to betray them. And at some point in time, they started having this other discussion. They're like, I ain't going to betray him. I'm the best out of y'all. You think that's what happened. They switch. Watch this. Now, from there was also a dispute among them as which one of them should consider the greatest. See, they go from figuring out who's betraying to, well, let me tell you what, I'm better than you. Peter's like, hey, well, none of you walked on water, but I did. John's like, yeah, you did, but you started sinking, Jackson. We saw you walking, we saw you sinking too. Peter's like, well, so what? At least I was walking. Okay, I don't know that any of that happened, but all I'm saying is, here's what I do know, that they were having a argument. That's what the Bible says.
Right, right.
Amen. Pastor George, we don't say more than the Bible says, right? Okay. But here's what I do know, that they were arguing over this. Then he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority of them are called their benefactors. Now watch this, next verse. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. Watch this, next verse. For who is greater? Who's greater? He who sits at the table or he who serves? See, that's a question for us today. Who's greater? See, we in part of our worldly mentality say, I'll tell you what, the one who's sitting there saying, hey, get me this and get me that, that's the greater. No, Jesus says, it is not he who sits at the table. It is not he who sits at the table. That's not the best, but watch this. And here's my first point. I would say Jesus is a server. Say it five times. Jesus is a server. 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 Back to the verse. Yet I am among you as the one who what?
Serves.
Who serves. See, why is it that that response shocks us when these guys say, we want you to do anything that we ask? And Jesus says, as a server, what is it that you want? See, that's the character of God. Jesus is a server. God is a server. When you see Jesus, you see God because Jesus is God. Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. One of the purposes of Jesus is that we could see better who God was, what his character is. God is a server. First point. Second point, God isn't against you. God is for you. Say, God is for me.
God is for me.
Do we think God is just, you know what? He's got this zapper. You know what I mean? He's like, oh, you know, zap me for this and zap me for that. And he's kind of in a bad mood all the time anyway. That is not who our God is. God is not against you. He's for you. What in the world? I said in this first service, but I want to say it again. God's for you. What does he have to be against you? What do you mean, Pastor? He got a lot to be against me. You know what? If you knew what I've done, if you knew my history, if you knew what I did, the stupid, foolish things that I did in junior high and high school and college and all this trash and stuff, and I put it all, listen, let me tell you what. God is for you. He's not against you. And here's why. Because if you take, if I just took the first row, if I just took all the goofball things, I'll include myself in the first row, all the goofball things that just all the people in the first row did in their life. How many know we got a lot of stuff? Come on, Lindy, can you say amen to that? Love you. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, man. We all got it all, stuff, junk. But listen, if you add all this stuff of just the first row, we got a lot of stuff. But you give me one drop of blood of the blood of Jesus, and let me tell you what, it takes care of all of our sins. And let me tell you what, in the second row, in the third row, in the fourth row, in the fifth row, in the whole place, all of our sins together compared to one drop of blood of Jesus Christ. Are you kidding me? See, let me tell you why God's for you. Because he has no reason to be against you. Woo! He's got no reason to be against you. He's absolutely for you. Why? Because he sent Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ went. He died on the cross. His blood covers all yours. For God so loved the world. Who wants the character of God? He's a giver. That he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Why? Because he took your sin away from you. Now you have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Of course he's not against you. Amen. He's totally not against you. He's totally for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Who did not spare his own son. He didn't even spare his own son. Why? But delivered him up. Who? Why? For us all. Man, he's not against you. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, the verse before. What should I say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? You know what his argument is? You know what his proof is that God's for us? The next verse. Who did not even spare his own son? Let me tell you, God is absolutely for you. He didn't even spare his own son. Romans chapter, or go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 up here on the screens. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Why did he go to the cross? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. How many know Jesus? I don't know if you know this story. It's only one of the gospels. But they go to get Jesus. They're ready to, a whole legion are going to get Jesus. They got their swords. They got their spears. They come to the garden. They figure out who it is. They're going to get Jesus. And all of a sudden, boom, they're all, the Bible says, they all were on their backs. Ooh, we're going to get you. Boom. Wow. Starry, starry nights. all of a sudden they're looking straight up to, you know what? Why? Because let me tell you what. You know, what was happening there? Well, I don't know, because the Bible doesn't give us the narration. But I believe that God was just letting us know who was in real control of this situation. And it makes sense, because if you read it, it's like God has to gather them and say, hey, guys, hey, remember? Come on, get me. Here I am. What's my point? My point is, that's the same Jesus who could have jumped off the cross, who could have taken that rope and gone, what are you kidding me? You gonna mess with me? Do you understand I'm the Son of God? All he had to do, he didn't even have to do anything. He could have just called a legion of angels. You know what I mean? How many know these angels aren't these little, you know, you read in the Bible, they're not like these little, you know what, wimpy, like little, you know, little babies, you know what I mean? You know, with little wings and, you know, naked butt or whatever. That ain't who angels are. Is that not right? I don't know why my wife, you know what, she got all these angels all around, you know, and that's what they look like, you know what I mean? Why do we got all these naked butt children? I don't know. I don't get it, you know what I mean? Because when I read the Bible, you know what, that is not who an angel is. Angels are like bad dudes, you know what I mean? They're big and mighty and they're tall and they're strong and they're intimidating. You know, those Trojan soldiers think they're doing something. All Jesus had to say is, hey, angels! Boom. Why? One, thank you. Why did he do that? For the joy that was set before him. He watch this. He endured the cross. There's this enduring. There's this control to say, I am not going to jack you up. I'm going to allow you to jack me up. For a time. Amen. So my point. My point is, you know what? God isn't against you. He's for you. My last point is this. Okay, I'll spend a long time on my last point, though. Watch this. Here's my last point. Go to my last point, guys. Point three. God loves to help people. How many of God loves to help people? Why? Here's why. This is so deep. And it's so simple. Sometimes the most simple thing is the most deep thing. God loves to help people. Here's why. Because he loves people. He loves people. He loves people. See, think about it. Let's talk about the character of God. Let's go back to how does Jesus respond? He doesn't respond with anger to these men. He doesn't respond irritated. You know, he's not ticked off. They do it even in the inappropriate time. He doesn't care. Here's what he says. You know what? What would you like me to do for you? Why? Here's why. Because Jesus, same yesterday, today, and forever, he's a servant. We're like, oh, Pastor, you're being so irreverent. No, you're being religious. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Amen. Amen. Think about it for a minute. Who's the one? Who are the people that are telling you? Remember blind Bartimaeus? He's blind. He asks, hey, what's going on? They say, hey, Jesus is walking around. Somebody tells him. Somebody, you know what I mean? He finds out. He figures, what's going on? He finds out Jesus is walking by. He starts crying, yeah, Jesus, Son of David. And that's what he said, Son of David. He starts yelling, and they're telling him to be quiet. Here's my question. Who's telling him to be quiet? See, you know what? I'm telling you, don't let people tell you to be quiet. Don't let people tell you that Jesus doesn't want to know what you want for Christmas. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't let him tell you that. Don't listen to them. What did the guy do? The guy cries out even louder. Son of David! And then what does Jesus do? Watch this. What does Jesus do? Does Jesus tell, hey, come on over here? He doesn't say that. And I believe that he didn't tell him that, not because he wasn't blind, not because he was blind, but because he wants to make a correction to all these handlers, all these religious people who are telling them, don't bother the master. Listen, you are not bothering God when you ask him for things.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, you shouldn't ask God for things. See, what Bible are you reading? Yeah, but Pastor, we got to be careful to not be, we got to be careful not to be materialistic. Because we can get, that's true. That's a good point. We can sometimes, you know, focus too much on materialism. That's true, right? But that's not who I believe you are. I don't believe you're material. I believe if you were materialistic, you'd be at the mall right now.
Oh, there it is. Come on.
Or you'd be at home sleeping. You're not materialistic. You're spiritualistic. Is that a word? Well, it is now. I just made it up. See, you care about God. You care about the things in the spirit. And we get in this such a defensive posture. If you like this song, don't write me a letter. Don't send me an email. You know what I mean? I don't even know if it's a song, but I heard on Christian radio the other day, I think it's a song. And the song is something like, hey, you know what? If you pray, well, here's what I know. One of the guys said, if you prayed a prayer, if your prayers got answered, would you change the world or would you change just the thing? Oh, wait, I got to tell you. Don't say amen to this. I got to tell you first. Don't say amen to this. Don't say amen to this. But here's what the guy said. If you said a prayer, would the world be changed or would just your circumstances be changed? Can I tell you what? Listen, if you want to pray for world peace, go for it. More power to you, right? If you want to pray that there would be less impoverished people, you know, babies going, you know, to bed with, do it. Do it. But I like what Jimmy Evans said. He said, you know what? I live in my world. And in my world, you know what? God put me in my world. And he said, you know what my prayer requests are? My prayer requests are my concerns primarily for things going on in my life. I don't think that that's wrong. I don't think that's wrong at all. And of course, we can get things out of perspective. And again, I don't mind if you pray for, you know what? We should be praying for things that are not just in our world, for things that are bigger than ourselves. Absolutely. But I don't want to be made, you know what? You know, it's like sometimes we get so religious, we're not even real. You know what I mean? Listen, I need to pray for my wife. I need to pray for my daughters. I need to pray for my son. I need to pray for my church. This is not a wrong thing to pray for, guys. And God is not taken back. God is not freaked out when we ask these things. Is this making sense to anyone? But there is a group of people who are going to shout Jesus down and say, hey, or shout the blind Bartimaeus down and say, don't ask him stuff. You're bothering. Listen, when you ask God for stuff, you are not bothering God. And Jesus says, hey, you tell him, hey, you guys, you go get him. The same guys that are telling him to be quiet, you go get him. And I like, we need to turn the air on a little bit. It's getting a little hot in here. Or is that just me preaching good today? Come on, somebody. So all I'm saying is, you know what? I like the man's attitude. You know what? The Bible says he takes his coat off, and leaves it there. All right, Jesus is take my coat off. Jesus wants to talk to me. And then watch this. And then when he gets to Jesus, what does Jesus say? He's not bothered by him. He's not pestered by him. Listen to the Jesus, my first point, Jesus is a server. Listen to what he says. What would you like me to do for you? Oh, man. That's the heart of God. When you see Jesus, you're seeing God. That is God's heart. That's what he's saying. He's not irritated by your request. You know what? And don't let the religious people tell you that. Think of it when the little ones. Remember the little ones? Remember the little ones? And they're telling him, "Don't be quiet. You're bothering him." And you know what he does? He speaks to these handlers and he corrects them. And he says, "Do not tell these kids not to come to me." See where the correction is? There needs to be some correction made. But the correction doesn't need to be against the people who are asking. The correction needs to be against the people who are saying, "You're bothering him. You cannot bother Jesus. You are not a bother to Jesus." Amen. Are you learning something today? When my son was little, before I tell you this story, let me quote what James says. James says, if you lack wisdom. You know, let me give you another version of that. Do you need some help? Do you need some help? Then here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to God and you're going to ask. And then James is going to tell you how God gives. You know how he gives? He gives liberally without reproach. When my son was little, and I mean really little, you know what? We put him in a crib, and all of a sudden, you know what? One night, you know, we were tripping out because we lived. We didn't at that point in time. We lived in a townhome, upstairs downstairs apartment, and the bedrooms were upstairs, which means we were really concerned. I probably should have told the first service that detail, huh? They just thought we wanted to encage our son. You know what I mean? I forgot to tell him, but we were upstairs, and so we wanted to protect our son. So, you know, of course, he was in a crib. Well, it was like one night, all of a sudden, Tyler is, you know what, on the side of our bed. Like, who got you out? Like, nobody got me out. I got myself out. You know what I mean? He didn't say that, but we knew. You know what I mean? It's like, whoa. So I forgot what we did, but we went in there and tried to make sure it was better. You know what? And then eventually he kept on getting out. We're like, this don't work. So we're going to buy him a bed. We bought him this bed, little bed, you know what I mean? But the bed had some rails on it or something. But sure enough, he got out of that bed, you know what I mean? So then Tamara's like, "Oh, we're gonna get this little guy." I said, "Well, just Tamara, it was me too." But it's like, we're not going to let a one-year-old outsmart us, you know what I mean? It's like, who's smarter, me or Tamara or this one-year-old? You know what I mean? We were starting to question, you know what I mean? So we got this. It was the same bed, but we got this tent-like thing, and the tent-like thing had this zipper. You know what I mean? So we're like, you know, Tyler, good night. You know what I mean? This little guy, he takes from the inside. How do you unzip the thing from the inside? Boom, he's there at the. But here's my point. My point is, what's he there for? Here's why he's there. He's there asking me, "Hey, Dad, can I have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?" Actually, Daddy, yeah, he was asking for peanut butter and jelly. "Can I have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?" I never, not one time. You know what I mean? I mean, how many know you can be irritated at 3 a.m? Not one time was I irritated with my son. I mean, I was a little irritated because he got out of bed. You know what I mean? I don't like that part. But that was just for his safety. But I was never irritated that he wanted a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I never went downstairs because our kitchen was downstairs. I never went downstairs and said, "Let me tell you what I'm going to do, Jackson. I'm not giving you a whole peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'm going to give you a half of one. Or I'm going to make it a quarter and give me, I'm going to eat half of it. I'm going to just give you this. Be happy with this. No. No, he got a full peanut butter and jelly sandwich. If he wanted another one, I'd give him another one. If he wanted another one, I'd give him another one. He could have 8. I'd make 8 peanut. I'd tell him, "Hey, get some more bread. This kid's hungry." Why? Because, listen, we don't serve a God who doesn't have enough. I'm giving you a chance to say amen way louder than that. We don't serve a God who doesn't have enough. We don't serve a God who isn't smart enough to figure out and give you wisdom on things. Let me tell you about God. There's no insufficiency in God in any way. And he doesn't give liberally. I mean, he doesn't give begrudgingly. He gives liberally without reproach. There's no reproach. Why? Because he's not mad at you. All right, I'll close with this scripture. And this is a scripture that you are, that you know. Well, I'll close with a lot of scriptures. James says, you have not because you ask not. See, here's my question. What do you want for Christmas? Do you want your marriage to be better? Do you want your husband to be more sensitive? Do you want your wife to whatever? I don't know. What do you want? Are you in debt? Do you want to get out of debt? You think God would have a problem with that? I would say he doesn't have a problem with that. Would you like a? I don't know. What do you want for Christmas? And again, I'm smart enough to recognize you guys aren't materialistic. You'll ask for good things. So ask. Because the Bible says, let me tell you why you don't have. You don't have because you don't ask. And let me tell you why I believe many people don't ask. Many people don't ask because they read scriptures like this and they just skip it. They just don't understand. And they listen to people on the radio who have this bent, who think that God is not a giver. God is a giver. He's got plenty, and he has no problem. Here's what the Bible says. You know what? That it's his good pleasure to give to his children. Here's what the Bible says. If I know how to give to my son, how much more, and me being evil, how much more does the Father know how to give to his children? Amen. Amen. The Bible gives a story in Luke chapter 18. And he says, this person is going to the king, going to the king, going to the king, going to the king. He's saying, hey, protect me, protect me, protect me, protect me. And finally the king says, enough, man. I'm going to protect you, not because I even care about you, but because you're just wearing me down with all your kinds of requests all the time. Then the Bible says this. You know what? It says, you know what? God's not like that king. Not like that king. You don't have to wear him out to get him to do something. He's not like that king. We've been told that he is. And so we have this sheepish, you know what? Oh, you know what? Oh, maybe if God's not too busy, you know what? Maybe he can give me a little crumb. Hey, stop it. So the last scripture I want to talk about is a scripture in Jeremiah 29 verse 11. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says this, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Now let me tell you, because how many have heard that scripture before? We know that scripture. Let me give it in context. Let me give you a context of that scripture. The context of that scripture is the people of God had been taken out, put out of Israel and in another country. And God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to bless the cities that you're at. Here's what he says. I want you to prosper. Give your kids, have kids, and have a lot of kids, and you have a lot of kids, and just, you know what? You're going to be blessed. But the prophets weren't saying that. They were looking at the circumstances and saying, no, you can't be blessed because you're not in your country. And they're talking a bunch of trash. And Jesus, yeah, exactly. And you know who was talking that trash? Here's what the Bible says. Go, when you go home, read it. The 29th verse. It says, or chapter. It says that the priests were talking this trash. And the false prophets. Amen. Who? The religious people. Man, you watch it. You know what? Listen, this is true. Anything that's not this, it's religious, and it needs to be thrown into the garbage can. It's in that context. Listen to God. He says this, for I know the plans that I have towards you. You know what God's saying? Hey, I know. Don't tell me. Don't let the prophets tell you what I think. I know what I think about you. Let me tell you about my plans. My plans are for prosperity over you and a future and a hope. It's not to harm you. I like one version. I like one version. It says it like this. Oh, I had it. I like one version. It says it like this. Okay. It says, you know what? For I have declared that I will prosper you. See, God makes a declaration. He makes a why? Because he's for you. He's not against you. So what do you want for Christmas? Amen. What do you want for Christmas? Have the boldness to ask God. Have the boldness to just understand the relationship that you have with God. Understand who our God is. Our God is not a curser. Our God is a blesser. Tamara?
Amen. And then once we ask him, have that boldness and that, it's not just courage sometimes, but just the confidence to know, too, who he is and what he thinks of you. I was, this morning, I was looking at a couple of gifts that were sitting right next to me. And as I looked at these gifts, I began to think about the fact that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. And when I thought that, God corrected me. And he said, actually, Tamara, Christmas is about my love for you. And he just began to minister to me of how value, he said, Christmas is because I love you so much. I value you so much. And I just began to think about that. Well, we'll think about it. Yeah. Jesus was born as a baby that he could come to be our Savior. So God gave his son for us. This is all true. But I've never thought about Christmas. There was a time that I thought about Christmas and I thought about Santa. Then there was a time that I thought about Christmas and I just thought about decorating and I thought about family and just all the stuff that comes with Christmas. But I have never thought about Christmas and thought, Tamara, you're so valuable to God. I've never thought that. But that is the truth. That's from God valuing us that he's willing to give his son, to Jesus valuing us that he was willing to die and come to die. That was his whole point. And all of it is about you and your value and their love for us. We just don't get it. Like that right there just made me go, wow, we can talk about the love of God all day long. But I need to do more than read it and hear it and talk about it and sing about it. I need to really meditate on that truth, on that reality. I'm going to try whatever it is that's associated with Christmas. You know what? Be it a tree or a song or a gift or a family event, whatever it is, I am going to try from this day forward that I never forget what God said to me this morning. That when I see a tree, that my very first thought will be, man, God loves you, Tamara. And then my second thought can be, oh, that's a pretty tree, or whatever else I want to think. But I'm going to try to discipline myself that from now on, and it's not just Christmas. Do you understand that? I mean, Christmas is obvious a time that it's in our face. And as believers, I think sometimes we're so careful to make sure. We want to make sure. We don't want to get caught up in the all the commercialism, you know what, of Christmas, right? We want to really remember that it's all about the birth of Jesus. Good, okay. But you know what it's really about? The value of you. And that is something we need to just probably fight to grasp, because we don't get that, but we need to get that, not just on Christmas Day and not just in the Christmas season, but 365 days a year until we stand before him, that we would just remember how it'll knock a lot of this religiousness that we see and that we think, even though we don't articulate it, we behave religious when we won't come boldly to our Father, right? So we just need to really begin to grasp this incredible value that he sees in us and this love that he has for us, even though we don't feel worthy of it. You're worthy because he said you're worthy. He's already paid the price for you. Is that amazing? Is it just like a mind blower to just kind of sit with that for a little while? I pray that you take that with you today. And once again, I mean, look at God. What a servant. You know what? That as we try, you know what, to honor him and love him and appreciate him, his whole focus is us. You know what? Right down to this morning, as I'm, you know what, just staring at these two gifts, and as I'm kind of staring at them, here we go. And I thought, man, Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. And then it just, he went from there. So important. Amen? Amen. May you remember your value. I think if we understood how valuable we were, it would cause us to just be completely different people. We would react so differently to things. We would interact so differently with people and situations if we understood, you know what, how precious we are. And I hope that doesn't come off, you know, wrong this Christmas, you know what, as we go into all the holidays, but that we would just receive what God said this morning, how valuable we are, and then share that love, you know what, in the way that we behave, you know what, with others. You said in the first service, he had said something like, as they were taking Jesus, and as Jesus was going through the crucifixion, at any time, the Father or Jesus could have stopped it. And the discipline and the control, especially from the Father, that it must have taken to just let it go. We can't even imagine. If I asked you all right now, matter of fact, I will ask you, just close your eyes for a minute. Close your eyes completely all around the sanctuary. And I want you to get one person. I don't care if it's your dog. I'm a dog lover myself. Get one person or an animal that you just absolutely love. Something, I'll say thing, of a dog that is valuable to you. Your emotions are just tied into that person because you're in love. And then I want you to just picture, you know what, that person or animal, whatever it is, being not just killed, because that's not how it went down. Tortured. Ridiculed. See, when we stop for a moment and think about what really went down, we know we couldn't do it. If you had the power to stop what was taking place to that person that you love, that you're imagining right now, would you do it? Of course you would. You can open your eyes. And I would too. I would too. The Father and the Son had the ability to stop it at any time. And both of them chose not to for one reason. And that reason is you. That absolute love for you. Now imagine if we had that same kind of control, discipline, in the way that we interact with one another. When I shared Friday night about what happened to me over at the mall on Thursday, I said, I had to, and this is, listen guys, we're way too touchy. We're way too provoked. So many of you weren't here. So I was at the mall, and Pastor talked, you know, how many of you have been at the mall this week and you've been going round and round and round and round, you're looking for that parking spot? Well, that was me. Ironically, he didn't know it, but that was me to the T that day. You know what I mean? So I was at the mall going round and round and round and round, round and round and round and round. And so then I just thought, well, okay, I'm just going to sit here on this aisle. I'm going to wait till someone comes out. And when they come, then, you know what, that'll be my parking spot, because this is just ridiculous. So, sure enough, here comes a lady, and she kind of gives me a nod. I'm like, okay, cool. You know what I mean? So, I'm all set there. I'm all there waiting. And then, this car that was behind me, all of a sudden, as this lady, you know, was getting in her car and started her car, you could see the lights, this lady behind me pulls up right beside me, and I thought, but she's not, like, pulling around you. You know how they can pull around you and just get on going and find their own spot? Oh, she's not getting on going. She's stopping, like, race car right next to me. And I thought, what you doing? You know what I mean? And so I kind of looked over at her like, what you doing? And then I thought, and she didn't look at me, so I thought, okay, well, I need to let her know. Maybe she missed all that I was here first and whatever. I don't know how she could, but I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. I'm just going to go ahead and just scooch up a little bit so she knows, yeah, sweetie, there's my blinker on, and I'm scooching up because I'm taking that parking spot because I've been sitting here waiting for it. And so I did all that, and you know what she did? She scooched up too. And then I was like, oh, my goodness. So at this point, I'm saying to myself, okay, Tamara, now, you know, calm down. Don't go all Chicago on the situation. You better watch yourself. You know what? You know what? Jesus is watching. I'm starting to talk myself off a cliff. Like, you know, be cool, Tamara, be cool. Oh, yeah, not even on my mind, brother. Not even on my mind. Matter of fact, I looked at her like, I thought, okay, now I need to lock eyes with her so she gets this. And so she kind of looks at me, and I look at her, and I'm like, what are you doing? I just gave her that. I gave her the all that. Like, what's up with you? And then she sat there for a little bit, and then all of a sudden she took off. I thought, good decision. That was good. Proud of you for doing the right thing. But guys, watch this. I'm calming myself and saying, okay, girl, don't you get all, you know what I mean? I'm doing all this over a parking spot. Do you see how touchy we are? Do you see how easily provoked we are? That's a stupid parking spot. Don't even get started with some of our family members, right? And the stuff that we walk into, right? What I'm trying to say is, shouldn't we have the same control. Listen, not just on Christmas, but let's go ahead and practice, shall we? That every time we see a hat on someone's head, a Christmas tree, a snowflake, we hear a song, whatever it is, I'm going to start to discipline myself that my first thought would be, man, God loves me. I'm valuable to God. And then from there, may I then remember, not only did they do it, but they had the discipline and the self-control to love me so much that neither one intervened for the other. That they just kept on loving me through it all. That then I would not be provoked and be the witness of who they are. That people would see them in me. That's what it's all about. That's what we're supposed to be doing 365 days a year. Amen? Amen. Amen.